from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It is Dukes and Bell. We have our 53-man roster as the Falcons have put it out. It is set. We're going to talk through this here, and we will get to the Kirby Smart comments about Clemson and talk dogs here in just a little bit. But we've been waiting to 4 o'clock, which it is now, and I'm looking at this, you know, and I want to go through this because we were talking about it to start the show and leading up to it with Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix Jr., Taylor Heinicke, 3 quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier, Avery Williams, and Chase McClellan, the 4 running backs. Drake London, Darnell Mooney. What's up, Darnell? Ray-Ray McLeod, Kadarius Hodge, and Casey Washington. Is that a surprise? Casey Washington? Is the 5 receivers. Kyle Pitts, Charlie Warner, Ross Dwelly are the tight ends. Offensive linemen, Jake Matthews, Matthew Bergeron, Drew Dahlman, Chris Lindstrom, Caleb McGarry, Ryan Neusel, Kyle Hinton, Storm Norton.
And Storm Norton, got to love that name.
Yeah, well, he played well last year, and, you know, I thought he had a good camp this year. And Javon Gwynn are the 9 offensive linemen. They keep 8 defensive linemen, including Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata, Taquan Graham, Zach Harrison, Eddie Goldman, Kentavious Street, Rook, Arohoro, Brandon Dorless. Linebackers, outside linebackers, Matthew Judon, Lorenzo Carter, Arnold Ebiketie, James Smith Williams, D'Angelo Malone. Obviously, the inside linebackers are Troy Anderson, Caden Ellis, Nate Landman, J.D. Bertrand. Corners, A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes, D. Alford, Clark Phillips, Anthony Hamilton Sr. The surprise here, guys, is we thought Kevin King would be a part of that cornerback group. Did we not? Did we just discuss that, guys? So he is not. Antonio Hamilton Sr. So A.J. Terrell, Mike Hughes, D. Alford, Clark Phillips. Safeties, Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, Richie Grant, and Makai Abernathy. Obviously, Youngway Koo and Pinion are kicker and punter. I'm looking at the names. That's the biggest one for me because I thought he played well in camp, and I thought that they really liked what he was doing. I don't know if there was a fear that maybe he couldn't stay healthy or maybe they just felt better about the other options. But Kevin King was one name that we talked about frequently over the last 3 or 4 weeks. But that might be the biggest surprise for me. Turtle, what do you guys think? I want to hear from you guys, too, at 404-726-0929. Just going through the roster, the 53-man roster set for 2024. The release list is there as well. And, again, I'm looking at some of these names, and I'm not necessarily shocked. But the Kevin King thing, because, again, he had a pick in the game. He was playing well in practice, was getting plenty of snaps. What do you guys think, man? What do you think?
Probably a better selection than the 3rd quarterback.
They're keeping 3. Told you they would. I just felt like that's what's going to happen.
And I mean, how much of that is a don't want to deal with the dead cap money? I mean, it's not, what is it, $4 million?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that much.
Well, you don't gain as much by releasing him and just saying,
it's
hey, we're done.
It's only a million.
Yeah, you're saving $1 million. It's not a lot. We talked about this leading into camp, and that was one
of the
reasons.
It makes even less sense to keep him there.
Well, but
did we talk, or we had somebody on before that mentioned maybe the fact that you keep a guy like Heinicke is the fact that there might be some quarterback starved team that comes around.
Down the road, yes.
Down the road, and he becomes valuable trade bait. So
yes.
If you can move him for a draft pick at some point, then
it was a win.
It was a win.
Yeah, it's a win. Any surprises for you guys? And I know I see some text coming in. Listen, I like the roster. I just feel like there are there's really nothing here that makes me go, okay, I cannot believe they just did that. The Kevin King thing's surprising, but again, he was coming off the injury. He's trying to work his way back in. What do you think, Turtle?
So from having to watch every single snap – because I work the games for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, I will give you my list of the guys that I thought stood out and had a chance to make this team. Chris Blair, Natrone Brooks, John Fitzpatrick.
Natrone Brooks is another one, you're right.
Zion Logue, Carlos Washington.
He made it, didn't he?
Nope.
Casey Washington, go ahead.
Casey Washington made it.
Yep.
And then we talked about Kevin King. Damone Harris played okay. Milo Eifler was the guy that Wes mentioned. He's on the waived injured list. And that's really it. All the other guys are going to be basically, you know, it's a cap casualty in the sense of there's just not enough space. When you keep 9 offensive linemen and 8 defensive linemen, that's a lot.
It is, but that's where the meat of the game is.
Well, and again, that's where you need the most depth.
Yeah. The meat of the game is there, and you inquire a major injury there, God forbid, you better have some ideas, and have some swing guys that can play. By the way, DeMarco Helms is on reserve injured list. He is designated to return. So he will be able to come back once he gets past this injury. Again, nobody's given us a timetable on that, right? We've not really heard what the timetable is on DeMarco Helms, but he is going to be on this team as well. It's just a matter of at what point does that happen. All right, so roster set. Feel good? I do. You should. Now, they hadn't played a game. But again, from a talent and on paper standpoint, this is a good team. This is a team from a talent standpoint that you go, all right, we could stack up with pretty much any team in the NFL and feel really good. The Chiefs are the Chiefs because of one thing. They got Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
The parts around him continue to change. Doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, it's not like the Chiefs are so much more talented than the Ravens or the Bills or Miami. At the end of the day, that's what has differentiated them in these games, in these big games. But our team right now, just on paper, I like our O-line, I like our D-line, I like our linebackers. I certainly like our safety tandem. So let's go to work, man.
I'm curious to know, and again, I'll hit this drum one more time. They did wait. Some teams didn't wait. You know, some teams had their rosters made by today, you know, noon, 1 o'clock. You know, the fact that they waited may have been a product of let's see who else is out there and see what comes up. Because what they're doing right now is they're scouring every waiver wire available to see what's there. I give this another 24 hours. Another 24 hours before I believe that everything is set 100%.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Because they could obviously change a couple of spots here if they feel like it. But if you are going through this list, and I say the list of, like, you know, position by position, and you feel really good about what you have.
I mean, there were no real big names cut.
No.
Today, across the board. There were no real cap casualties.
Well, I'm looking around the league, and I'm trying to see as well as some of these names are, you know, now popping. And I kind of feel the same way. You know, I don't feel like there were major surprises. Again, usually age has plays a role in this. The other thing that plays a role in it is you know, youth. Sometimes it's you get a younger guy who's cheaper and the age plays a role and, you know, you go that route even though it may not be the best option, but teams are still looking to save. And so, but at the end of the day, it's 4 o'clock. Teams are required to be at 53 players on their active roster. And so now, as Eno said, we start to look and see, all right, what do the Eagles do? Who else got cut? What does it look like? Are there players out there that you might be interested in? And then if there are, you reach out and see what happens. But as Wes said, a lot of these players that are not going to be here or that they want to keep, per se, they will tell them, hey, we want you on the practice squad. We'd love to keep you. And so that may be the case and is the case around the league for a lot of these teams. But no big surprises for the Falcons, man. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Tell us what you think or how you feel, more importantly, about the team. I hope you feel good. I mean – They're not doing anything crazy, and they're not doing anything stupid.
No.
Hey, stay the course, and let's see where this thing goes. You know?
Listen, now it's about snapping the ball.
That's right.
Let's see where it goes. I mean, you got...
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What do they have? 13? No.
9 days.
Nine days till the opener?
Yeah, Sunday, because the opener is the 5th.
The 5th, the week from tomorrow?
Yep.
So,
yep.
10 days until they snap a ball, and let's see where this goes. I mean, I can't wait for the bad first pass from Kirk Cousins. See, you didn't play in the preseason.
Well, listen, I got to be honest. We were at all these practices. He really didn't have a lot of bad passes. I'll be honest.
A habitual ball holder.
Yeah, you can't be that either, Kirk. But he didn't have a whole lot of those.
Can I ask another? Is there a way, if you're keeping Taylor Heinicke, that from a depth chart perspective, that Penix is listed as the third quarterback?
Okay.
Okay, who's got more NFL experience at this point?
Why are you obsessed with this?
The reason you can't. Hold on. Hear me out here.
I'm trying.
Who's got more NFL experience?
Heinicke.
Okay. Who started before in the NFL?
Heinicke.
In a tight spot in a game, Kirk Cousins gets his ankle rolled on.
You want to go with Heinicke?
I'm not saying that. I'm asking the question.
The answer is no. You drafted him, and the city is starving if that was to happen to see him. We are not starving to see Heinicke. Sorry.
You're right.
So
then why is he here?
Because of the emergency situation that teams have run into. It is a smart move. I know we don't feel that way, or you might not think it. It is a smart move. And this is why the league changed the rule, by the way. Smart. But no way in hell is that happening if, God forbid, something happens and this city is not going, we better see Michael Penix Jr. Because that's what we want to see. Win, lose, or draw. We need to know.
All I'm saying here is that from a standpoint of there is zero intent to play Michael Penix this year.
Correct. Matter of fact, you know what? When we come back, we'll play this. Because Raheem Morris answered this because they tried to put him on the spot in that nightcap podcast with Shannon Sharp and Chad Ochocinco. And he was like, look, the message is clear. Cousins is our starter. Penix is going to learn. That's it.
If he's going to learn.
That's it.
That doesn't mean he's the backup.
No. Hell no.
What is he, Zeno? What is he?
Third quarterback on the roster.
Oh. No. Hell no.
No, that's not what he is. We're going to play Kirby Smart as well, guys. We'll tell you what he had to say about Clemson. We had to get to the roster there. It literally came down. It doesn't necessarily come down at 4 o'clock. It came down. We wanted to review it with you, go through it. No real major surprises, I don't believe. And I think the roster looks good from the standpoint of everybody that I think should be here is here. All right, we're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell. Falcons roster is set, at least for now. Zeno said give it 24 hours. See what happens on the who else was cut and who they might be, chasing. By the way, we got sent this, and we started the show with this. So if you're just tuning in, however you're accessing the show, thank you for making Dukes and Bell your number one sports show and 92.9 The Game, your number one sports station. We said earlier to start the show, and it was just one of those things that we got into a conversation with or about before the show started about quarterback Desmond Ridder. He was released by the Cardinals. And we were talking about, you know, it just I think it's more proof that he wasn't necessarily ready for what he got thrust into here, but, you know, they had no choice. This is who they, you know, put all their cards in, or at least put all the marbles on the table, however you want to say it. As far as Desmond Ridder was concerned, it didn't work. And then you go to a new place and you say, all right, well, he gets a second chance somewhere else, and, you know, he's going to be a backup potentially to Kyler Murray. It didn't work. So somebody sent that to us. We're aware of it, and we got into a great conversation about this and what it means, you know, when you start talking about how important that quarterback-coach relationship is. And, you know, we talked about Arthur Smith. All right, before we get into some guy talk, which is on the way here in about 10 minutes, we do need to talk about the Dogs. But before we do, I want you to hear Raheem Morris, because I teased this and I want you to hear it. Because you said, what is the plan with keeping three quarterbacks? The Falcons do keep Taylor Heinicke as part of the roster. Raheem was asked this question on the Nightcap podcast, and this was his response about what the plan is when it comes to Cousins and Penix.
I think the message was clear coming in. Right. It was open. It was honest. It was clear. Kurt's our starter.
Yeah.
Kurt's going to take us to places that we want to go to.
Okay.
And Michael's going to come in, and he's going to watch what it looks like, what it feels like. He want to see what it looked like when you had your quarterbacks in your day with John Elway. Mm-hmm. He want to see what it looked like. You ain't having the quarterbacks, but what it looked like to go out there.
And he's talking to Chad Ochocinco saying you didn't have any quarterbacks. But that's the plan, Zeno. So it's clear. There shouldn't be any debating. If you live in our city and you hear people from outside, you know, talking about, oh, the Falcons, they don't know what they want to do. They know exactly what they're doing and how they're approaching this. And by the way, this quarterback thing, a little bit of osmosis to this. You know? Yeah, you have to play, but we've seen guys who have sat 1, 2, 3 years just depending, and it's played out just fine. So that is the plan, and I just wanted to play that because Raheem was asked that question. He was joking with the guys last night or whenever they recorded that. But the fact is, he's right. Here's the plan, and this is what we're expecting.
Well, again, just because he's here to learn doesn't mean he's here to be the backup at this point in time. There's value in the idea of saying to Penix, shut your brain down, kid. You're not playing this year, period. This is not what you're here for. We didn't draft you to play this year. You knew that when we took you. We told you that when we took you. You're here to learn. Sit back. Wear the headset. You're only going to be here in case, you know, the you-know-what hits the fan, and we're going to use you in an emergency spot. Taylor Heinicke has starting experience. He has backup experience. He has playoff experience. He started a playoff game.
Is this true?
For the then Redskins against
Commanders. Yeah.
Yeah, the Commanders against the Buccaneers that year. So he's got a lot of things that Michael Penix at this point doesn't. And it makes perfect sense, despite what anybody wants to sit here and scream at me on Twitter or yell at me otherwise, it makes perfect sense to leave Michael Penix out of the equation, and Taylor Heinicke is listed as a number two quarterback on the depth chart and on game day, and Michael Penix is the emergency third quarterback.
404-726-0929. Oh, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
What do you think of NIL? Kirby Smart says he's envious of Dabo's bold approach to NIL.
So he used the word envious?
Are
you sure that's the adjective he wanted to use?
Well, he says Georgia brought in 9 transfers this season. It was done to bolster depth and to add talent to the roster. Clemson brought in 0 players from the transfer portal. Zeno, is this the way you win in today's college football? The Tigers are the only Power 4 program in the country to not bring in anyone. It's hardly, you know, it's not even the norm. Like, the norm is you're going to go into the portal and bring somebody in. Even if you are one of the best teams, like Georgia, who, again, brought in 9 transfers. So Kirby was talking about, he says, I like Dabo. If I could keep my entire roster, I'd be all for keeping my roster, I believe in the kids we sign. I believe in the kids we recruit, and I want to grow them to get better. It's not realistic to think you're going to keep all of your players right now. What is realistic is you need to be operating with as much depth as possible, and it's made it tougher to do that. So Who's got it right here? Because, see, I think, Kirby, there is a balance. You can't change over 25 or 30 players every year. But you certainly can bring in a few guys to help you with exactly what Kirby's talking about. But I don't think Clemson is going about this the right way. I just feel like Dabo is going down a road that he is going to regret when this is all said and done by saying, hey, we're not bringing anybody in from the portal. That's what I believe.
I mean, look. He could be envious of it if that's the word he wants to use. Bold is certainly one way to describe it, as in that's a bold strategy, Dabo. Let's see if it pays off for him. But you're setting yourself up to climb a steeper hill than everybody else is. I mean, not that I know anything about NASCAR in parlance. If everybody else could drive 5 miles an hour faster and you're just like, well, I'm good, the governor where it is because I don't want to use extra fuel. Okay. If that's the record you want to go, you think your driving skills are good enough? I'm sure Bo Morgan is listening somewhere cursing me for bringing up NASCAR.
I'm sure he is.
As is Mike Johnson. But, you know, why would you not use all these systems in place to continue to make your team better at some sort of, I guess, idyllic notion and hard-headedness that you don't want to do the same things everybody else is doing? Okay, envious is a word. That's not the word I would use. Stupid would be the word I would use.
Yeah, but because the
foolish.
The rules change, and the rules change for everybody.
Yes.
They didn't change just for Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Texas. They changed for everybody. And I think from Dabo's standpoint, you know, do you feel like you're cheating the players that you've recruited and that have been in your program by going into the portal?
If Dabo had the ability to allow people not to transfer out, there might be some validity to his program, to his idea. But they can still leave you.
They can still leave, yes.
So you're not stopping. It's only a one-way, you know, stop sign. Like, you could still bleed out, but you're just not going to take any more blood when you do. Like, so, okay.
Yeah. It's I don't believe in it. I don't think it's good for the program. I'm talking about Clemson's program. I just don't. And this goes for anybody. If you're a coach that doesn't change with the time, you know what happens? It passes you by.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, if Clemson has another struggle season this year, people are going to look to this and be like, hey, there are ways to make this team better, and you chose not to do it. Meanwhile, Kirby was asked about this football team he's going to see on Saturday in Clemson. Here's what he said about studying for the game.
You study the history of the coordinators, and you look at that hard. You know, Dabo has an impact on the offense, so you look at what he's done through his time being there. The most recent you look at is last year's games, and nobody is exactly what they were the year before, but you don't have any other options to study. You know, you don't have game film of this year, and you know, this is the only game that we'll go into without game film of this year, so it all starts to change. But I'm sure everybody across the country is the same way.
Yeah, and, you know, Kirby's right. You go into this game and you can only perceive that this team is going to do similar things that they've done in the past. It's like a Kirby Smart football team. You know what they want to do defensively, even though the pieces have changed. So you look at that and you say, all right, this is probably what they're going to do. But until you get into it, you're right. This first game, Zeno, is a game of adjustments because – what if they come out and they're doing something different from an offensive standpoint, even if it sets, motion, whatever it might be, and it's not that you're not prepared for it, but it may be just a different look than what you expected, you got to be able to adjust. So this first game, unlike any other, to Kirby's point, because as you go through the season, you start to get set in what you like to do and how you want to operate, and that's when you start to hone in on those things. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Guys, Guy Talks on the way. You can hit us up 404-726-0929. Falcons roster is set. We'll get back into that in the 5 o'clock hour. Mark Raimondi from ESPN, who covers the Falcons, is also going to join us a little bit later on to talk about the roster itself and what he thought about surprises. I really don't feel that way. I feel like everybody we thought would be here is, and there may be one or two names that I had to do a double take on, but we'll get to more of that coming up here on the show. But as far as Kirby Smart, he says he's really excited to have the backs that they have for Saturday. The one guy we don't know, we asked Connor Riley this yesterday, was ETN. We do not know if he's going to be suspended, if he plays a half. Connor Riley from Dog Nation said his gut is saying he does not feel like he will play on Saturday, but that is not official from Kirby or anybody else. Here's Kirby Smart.
Yeah, really excited about the backs we've got. The guys have worked really hard. They continue to grow and get better. You know, Rod's toe is still an issue for him, but
So they got a group of backs that are going to be able to do the job. We talked to Connor about this yesterday. That interview's online. It's not about depth, but ETN, a lot of people are saying, is just a game changer. And you put him in this backfield with Carson Beck, how it opens up the passing game. If he's not playing, I think it first of all tells us what Kirby thinks about all that happened during the offseason. But I also think it's the right thing if he makes that decision. So I'm just going to wait to see if he's out there and what's going to happen on Saturday.
I'm kind of curious real quick. I mean, Carson Beck is the second best odds right now to win the Heisman.
He is.
Are we shooting too high?
Four.
I mean, does that feel like he's going to have that type of season?
He's that good.
It's not a question of whether he's good. It's a question of whether he can have a Heisman season.
Well, you have to be that good to be considered what we're talking about. The question for me is, wide receivers going to step up to fill the void the question. It's
Stetson
not going to be
Bennett 2 years ago had an amazing year.
He did.
And he didn't even sniff the Heisman.
Nope.
More negativity from Zeno, huh? Noticing a theme here.
Bite me.
little pattern developing,
not
huh?
Negativity. That's reality. If Stetson Bennett with that team couldn't get Heisman consideration.
Because people say the team around him was so talented. Look at all the guys they went to the NFL.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. This is different. Carson Beck, 6'5", big arm, looks the part. He looks like a prototypical NFL quarterback. Coming off the year he had last year, there are a lot of people who have their eyes on him as potentially the number one overall pick. That's a different feel than what we had with Stetson Bennett.
Fair enough.
Coming up, how much money did they get? Are they about to make more money away from it than they did doing it? Find out what we're talking about in Guy Talk next.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yes!
Brought to you by Hooters. If the game is on, it's on at Hooters. Any conference, all season long.
Somebody's on the apps, and apparently they had a bad situation play out. We'll get to that before the end of Guy Talk. It's Dukes and Bell, Mark Zeno in for Mike. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll rehash the 53-man roster. The Falcons made their final cuts today at 4 o'clock, and so we're going to talk more about that as well. What's up?
Before we get to Guy Talk, real quick, can I just do a small little thing that I wanted to wish my twin sons, Dominic and Vincent, a happy 9th birthday. Today is their birthday.
Absolutely.
So the boys, 9 years old. It's been a hell of a ride. A lot of you guys were here when they were born. You believe they're 9 years old. So, Dommy and Vin, Daddy loves you. Happy birthday. Enjoy the rest of the day, guys. And have one for me later on. By one, I mean cooking milk and cookies.
Of course.
You know.
Of course. And by the way, your boys are so good, man. You brought them up here like the last time you were here and
They love coming here.
You know, they were just chilling.
They love coming here.
So.
What, Orn? Well, because they've stuck them on iPads, crying out loud.
Yeah.
That's parenting at its finest in 2024. It's the worst thing in the world.
The iPad?
And now I hope they're listening. They don't get them much with me.
Well, you took it away when they were here.
Oh, yeah, because they started being maniacal.
No, they're boys.
They got a lot of energy. I'll say that much. But happy 9th birthday, Dominic and Vincent. Daddy loves you.
All right, that's awesome. Happy birthday, fellas. And I hope to see you guys soon. With that said, how much money are these guys going to make?
My kids? Not much.
I'm talking about Jason and Travis Kelce. If you've not heard, their podcast deal with Amazon is worth reportedly more than $100 million. Now, let me ask you this. Jason and Travis were really good players. They're both going to Hall of Fame, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Jason was the best player at his position for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Travis, obviously, with the Super Bowls and all that. They're both going to Hall of Fame, which is incredible to say that their brothers are going to do that. But are these guys going to make more off the field than they made on the field? Collectively, I think they've made about $150 million somewhere in there. Again, Jason Kelce was a center for the Eagles. Travis just recently signed a two-year extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. It's worth $34 million. And last year, Jason Kelce, his last season with the Eagles, he made $14 million. But this podcast, and by the way, Kirtle, you guys heard this podcast? You like the podcast? It gets a lot of run. I mean, they obviously
you want to talk your
Yeah, they have great guests. They do a lot of fun stuff. But I just feel like the fact that Jason is who he is, and he's going to be on Monday Night Football now, right? Monday Night Football. And then Travis is dating the biggest pop star in the world. That doesn't hurt.
I'm not going to lie, Carl and Zeno, I hate listening to it because I'm like, these guys were the best at what they did in football. Now they're the best at podcasts.
It's true.
It's like enough already, right?
Yeah.
How much success can two people really have?
The podcast, by the way, is called New Heights, but it's a $100 million deal reportedly with Amazon. And so they've got a new season that's about to start and all that. But I love the fact that they don't hold back. Like some of these podcasts, you know, you're like, oh, I really don't want to say anything. And they're always about it and they don't care. And they don't care whose feelings they hurt. But I also think the fact that who they are, right, with Jason's crazy personality and Travis dating, you know, Taylor Swift. You a Swiftie, by the way? You a Swiftie?
I don't hate it. I'm indifferent.
Okay. Fair enough. But that is insane. And these guys continue to do things off the field that have major impact. And now this just came out that they're going to have this podcast move to Amazon.
I mean, on one hand, good for them. On the other hand, these two guys I need a job. Like, can I get a little podcast love here and there somewhere? Like, there's...
You mean I need a full-time job?
Yeah, Travis Kelce has already got a job after his job.
Yes, he does.
He's not even done doing his job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you become an all-pro football player in, like, 2 weeks?
At Tecmo Bowl.
Well, there you go.
That's not going to work.
I'll roll anybody at Tecmo Bowl.
That's not going to work.
Not even close.
Do you still have it at the house?
Oh, absolutely, I do.
Okay. Yeah, because that's we've talked about doing a Tecmo Bowl competition here forever.
I will absolutely put money on me right now to win that thing.
Who's your squad?
Giants.
Okay.
LT on defense.
LT's unblockable, so that's not fair.
Yeah. Well, that's true on that game.
I mean,
true.
If it's not Giants.
Bavaro's on there too, isn't he?
Well, theoretically, it's not. Yeah, it's not him.
It's
but,
not
yeah,
him, it's him, but it is him. Yeah.
And then if it's not that, then I usually go with San Fran.
Okay. And that's Roger Craig.
Roger Craig, Jerry Rice,
Joe Montana. I know.
I mean, I won the Super Bowl on your off day, too, and play with Bo Jackson.
Yeah, Bo Jackson, right. When you play the Raiders, just pick Bo Jackson's play every time. That's it. That's all you do. And just defend
so
the other
good.
Ones.
It's so good.
I won the Super Bowl with my brother and I won the Super Bowl with every team. We wrote down all the codes, too, to go to any week. I mean, we were maniacal about Tecmo Bowl's kids.
Oh, that's so good. I still love to play it if I get a chance to. Meanwhile, guys, Tom Brady is not going to be doing his podcast while we're talking about podcasts. As his Fox NFL commitments mount up, guess who he's handing the reins over to? His former coach.
Tony Guerrero?
His former coach. Bill Belichick is going to do the Let's Go podcast now. And I don't even know if you guys realize this. Obviously, Coach Belichick, he's 72. But Tom Brady says, listen, I got too much stuff going on with the TV gig. So I got to hand the reins over. And Tom Brady said he does this or did this podcast with Jim Gray and Larry Fitzgerald. And it actually is pretty good. I think, you know, it comes on before Monday Night Football. I don't know when they record it. But he is handing this over to Belichick. And he says, for 20 years, I threw the ball for Coach Belichick. So now I'm passing the microphone to him on Let's Go. And he says, I'll be listening every week. Bill and Jim will have lots of great conversations, blah, blah, blah. And then Belichick, I want to thank Tom for recommending me with this opportunity. How good is he going to be?
Very good.
Belichick on this?
If he's talking about football, very good.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Because I thought Tom was good on this.
The small snippet, here's the best reference I have. Do you remember when Bill Belichick sat down with, I think it was Ed Reed and a couple of other coaches or whatever, and a couple of guys from the NFL Network, and he was talking about how Ed Reed baited Peyton Manning into throwing a pick, Belichick broke the whole play down.
He sure did.
When Belichick starts breaking down X's and O's for ways that people can understand, it's electric. I mean, if you're a football, you don't even have to be a football nerd. If you just enjoy hearing the nuance of the sport, then Belichick's the guy.
Yeah. Listen, it's a podcast. Jim Gray's going to lead the way. Fitzgerald is great, but Brady's going to step away. And by the way, we've not really talked about this because, I mean, what's your expectation for Brady, by the way? With these TV broadcasts. You really believe that?
Yeah. I mean, he's passionate. He's really smart. I think that he communicates the game well. You know, I'm curious as to how much of the when I played stories we'll get.
Because
he has been on that tip a lot. You know, about the change of the game and everything else.
And young quarterbacks and all that
and
stuff.
This, that, and the other. Now, again, you can sort of, for lack of a better way to phrase it, take those shots at the game and the young quarterbacks and everything else. You know, in an effective way that doesn't make it look like you're taking a shot at him. But, you know, that's kind of been a big thing with him. He's kind of just hit on that a lot.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure yet. I don't know. Listen, and I don't know what all the pushback is about Tony Romo. I like Tony Romo. I think he does a good job. But is he the standard right now? And is Brady going to be better from a color commentary standpoint than that? Is he going to become the standard? Is he going to be the guy?
I don't know why we...
And by the way, who's he replacing Turtle that we love? The tight end?
Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen was great, man.
I didn't like him as
much. What? Greg Olsen was really good.
Maybe it was just the Monday night episode with him or whatever it was that he tried to, wherever he tried to fill in for Romo that didn't work.
I don't know. Every time I watched Greg, I thought he did a really good job. Bad.
Carl, I'm shocked. Zeno didn't like it. Huh? Wow.
So, here we go.
I'm sorry for having an opinion in an objective
Yeah, I like,
way.
I like
also
Greg Olsen.
Sorry for having an opinion in a career field that requires you to have opinions. Neither here nor there. We do this thing when it comes to the broadcasters where we start to compare them and who's better. You know, until we got to social media...
It didn't matter?
One, it didn't matter. Two, I never really cared. I never tuned into a game to hear them call it. I tuned into a game because I wanted to watch
it. But have you ever tuned into a game where you tuned out because of it?
No.
Okay.
I have not. Like, I learned to block. And then you're talking to somebody, you know, can I do the John Franke thing? I did play-by-play for years. You know, like, I've done the craft. And so I have a different ear for it from that standpoint. But... I just don't put that much effort into it. I don't, you know, if it's bad, I notice it's bad. If it's good, I notice it's good.
I don't care.
But I just, the other thing that we overreacted to is Tony Romo. Tony Romo was not the first guy to predict plays happening. He's just the first guy to do it in front of social media where we could make a big deal about it. Aikman was doing it for years before
Romo
ever got there.
Romo's better.
He's too much of a cheerleader for me.
Oh, see, but that's the deal. He's. I think the enthusiasm and the excitement, he's better. Although I love Troy. All right, we'll see. But Brady's giving up the podcast. It's called Let's Go! And he's handing the reins over to his former coach and Bill Belichick. By the way, don't you think that means that they are fine? Like, everybody thought that they didn't like each other. Like, there was this thing between them because of the way they broke up or the way that all went down at the end. They're fine. Belichick's fine. Brady's fine. And they'll be fine, okay? With that said, we got to get to the Falcon Report. Roster set. And I like it a lot. No real surprises, but there are a few names we need to tell you about that are not going to be here. We'll also tell you around the league what happened. All teams had to cut the rosters today to 53. 4 o'clock was the deadline, and it's been met. Find out what the Falcons look like next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.